questions swirl about the effectiveness of one COVID-19 vaccine. So what does that mean for global supply? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Shares of AstraZeneca dropped nearly 1% at the start of trade here in London before clawing back those losses to trade 0.3% higher. Investors are assessing the implications of South Africa's decision over the weekend to suspend its rollout of the drug maker's coronavirus vaccine. A small study suggested the shot provided only minimal protection in moderate cases of the local variant. The nation's health minister, Zweli Mkhize, said the study didn't gauge efficacy against more serious infections and did not represent the demographic most at risk, since the average age of participants was 31.
It's a temporary issue. Our scientists must quickly figure out what approach are we going to use in order to effectively deploy the AstraZeneca vaccines.
Well, as the British, South African and Australian governments try to ease concerns about the vaccine, AstraZeneca said it's working on an improved formula for the autumn. The BBC's Naomi Grimley explains what happens in the meantime.
Certainly, if more countries were to follow South Africa, it would have a delaying effect. But I think we should be really cautious about this, because there are many scientists who believe it is better to roll out this vaccine as it stands, even though maybe in due course it will be modified or there'll be booster shots, but that some protection is better than no protection. There will be more people perhaps in the next 24 hours questioning whether South Africa is really doing the right thing by pausing it.
Is there a risk some of these vaccines that some of these countries have in supply now could go bad if these vaccine programs are delayed for a certain amount of time?
One of the big questions that will be asked in the next few days is whether there is an expiry date on these doses that have been ordered by South Africa. However, as I was saying before, I think there are doctors who will take the view that it's just best to get moving with these vaccines, even if in due course they do have to change their formulation to keep up with these new variants, because any form of protection is obviously better than none.
The BBC's Naomi Grimley for us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, an index of world stocks hit its ninth record high of the year today as investors pin hopes on more economic relief measures in the U.S. and continued global COVID-19 vaccine rollouts. Meanwhile, Brent crude traded above $60 a barrel today. Like many countries, Cuba is looking for ways to boost its flagging economy, struggling under the weight of the global pandemic. And to help, the government has announced a major economic reform to continue opening up the private sector to more business. The BBC's Will Grant has more.
This decision expands the acceptable jobs list to over 2,000 and only prohibits 124 activities from going private. Exactly which 124 jobs are still obliged to remain under full state control is yet to be published. Experts on Cuba's tangled and complicated economy say the step essentially opens up almost all economic activity on the island to some form of private enterprise. Given how slowly reforms tend to move in Cuba, it may still be some time before the change is noticeable in daily economic life. However, these decisions are being dictated by the dire state of the economy, which contracted by 11% last year amid a sharp downturn in the tourism sector over the COVID-19 pandemic.
That's the BBC's Will Grant reporting from Havana there. The coronavirus crisis has forced governments and central banks to spend trillions of dollars to try to prevent complete economic disaster. For years, policymakers have touted the benefits of green investments, but among the huge stimulus programs that have been rolled out, only a fraction are being used to address climate change. One man hoping to soon change that is Mark Carney, the former Bank of England governor turned special envoy for climate action and finance at the United Nations. The BBC's Sharonjeet Lail reports.
In a matter of months, the most important climate change discussions at the UN will take place in Glasgow, Scotland, and Mark Carney will lead the charge.
Whether it's a bank or somebody who's investing, they can choose. They have the information and they can choose to be part of the solution, transitioning to net zero, or part of the problem.
Already, he's making an urgent call for action just as the US returns to the world stage in the battle against climate change and as China, the world's largest polluter, is pledging to become carbon neutral by 2060. Mr. Carney also argued companies in the global financial industry could play a pivotal role in the transformation.
We had the test with the corona crisis and just the scale of the shock to all of our economies that has happened, and the one sector that has been in a position to withstand those shocks and actually be part of the solution has been the financial sector. We didn't prepare the financial sector for this risk per se, but what we did do is make it strong enough, resilient enough for a very major shock.
With increased scrutiny on companies and countries to meet their targets, Mark Carney is optimistic that this year's climate talks will bring some real progress towards combating climate change. I'm the BBC's Sharonjit Lail for Marketplace.
Finally, call it the Apple effect. Shares of Hyundai and Kia saw sharp declines today after the pair said they are no longer in talks with the tech giant on autonomous electric cars. That single announcement wiped more than $8 billion off the two automakers' combined market value. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.